the love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prashna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By the passionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. than suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So one of those moments where really reflecting on what a difference practice has made over the years. Before it used to feel like you're really trying to do it right. And now it just feels like this is our place.
Yeah.
This is where we practice together.
Yeah. And anyone who wants can do it.
Yeah. Anyone who wants can do it.
Yeah.
And if you choose it, there's a ton of support.
In that same way, in that if I practice it, it was so much about trying to get it right. Mm-hmm. And, get to the breath and focus on the breath and get to the number. And that, in fact, there's so much support just in the breath. Mm-hmm. That once again, it's not, it sort of can be the same, it's here as a gift.
It's here, it's a gift.
Yeah. It's not about getting it right, doing the right thing with right intention. It's a gift also.
Yeah. So in that same way, it sounds like you suspect that trying to get it right was pervasive in all areas of your life. The same is also true with dropping that and realizing that this is our practice is a metaphor for all of life, really.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's all here for our support.
Right.
The breath, the being, the everything.
Yeah.
We talk about everything is for my benefit. And by my, whoever, all of us.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, too, the work I did for so much of my life was so about trying to get it right. And when there was something wrong, it was sure obvious. It was
so kind of in the arena of performance. Trying to get it right, and then it was really obvious when it was.
Well, especially when it comes to juggling. You know, that's pretty obvious. Get that wrong, everybody knows.
Yeah. Well, again, yeah, and that's all through a conditioned lens, right?
Right, and it doesn't even matter to everyone, it's that I know. It's
exactly.
Just in that realm of right and wrong. It's
yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's just that we all share collective conditioning. Yeah. But if that were to drop away, would it be wrong if something drops on the ground?
Right.
You know?
Right, and there are, of course, times in those. Usually it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine when things drop on the ground. No,
it's not. Well, it's always fine, right?
Well, there are times when it was still not fine.
But again, from what perspective?
Right. Right.
From that we're still here talking about it. Right? We didn't get shot. Right.
Drop and die. Right, just in that realm of the same, of trying to get it right.
Yeah, exactly. And what that means about me, and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a much bigger place to live.
Oh, so much bigger.
Yeah.
And there's still that belief, that conditioning is that I can get it right.
Yeah.
And then everything will be the way I want it to be. I'll have what I want, I'll feel the way I want, and, you know, just because the conditioning is still there.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you say that, I think of Gandhi's worthy opponent.
Yeah.
That, so your practice expands, and there's a place where what used to be an arena where you were trying to get it right, you realize what's available to you is something much bigger. And then conditioning attempts to push you into that box. And then you see that, and it forces you in a way to keep expanding that arena where it's all okay.
Yeah.
The feelings, the sensations, the I don't like this, the I didn't want that, the, you know, we're forced to have that continue to grow. Which is a gift also.
Yeah.
I just have to jump in after that. It has been my focus, that whole thing about getting it right. And remind myself it's about getting here.
Yeah, so the focus really is redirecting the attention to what I want, right? Yeah.
Right, right.
And yeah, so the focus is not getting it right, the focus is...
yeah, mm-hmm. And it's just, wow. And it's just, yeah, it's been so believable for so long that that's the whole thing. That's what's going to get love. That's what's going to get everything your heart desires. Mm-hmm. It's just getting it right.
Mm-hmm. If you could just get it right.
Just get it right.
Then you'll be loved. Then you'll have what you really, really want.
Yeah, and all the time, of course, turning to egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, to figure out what's right.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
It's an evil, evil system when you really see it. It's all unconscious and supposed to be unconscious because when we really see it, to realize, wow, I'm turning to something that hates me for guidance about how I should be in order to get loved.
Mm-hmm. It's a fast ticket to hell.
It's a fast ticket.
And then, you know... And so, and one of the ways I've been seeing that it has oppressed me is, or that I've been oppressed by this whole system, mm-hmm. is in sharing in group and actually, having to be the right person, the share has to be the right thing, and mm-hmm. that, you know, if you practiced a long time, there shouldn't be. You shouldn't still be struggling with certain
uh-huh.
issues,
uh-huh.
you know, and how that just, you know, and just seeing the craziness behind that,
yeah.
and that, you know, being human, and mm-hmm. And always, I mean, practice is always, it's always going to be practice.
Yeah, because it's like we were just looking at with Krista, conditioning is always going to do what conditioning does.
Mm-hmm.
So to buy into, I can't talk about this in group,
right.
Maintains that fundamental confusion that that's me.
Exactly.
But if I'm just simply reporting on, oh, here's what it's up to now, here's yeah. what it's up to now, here's what it's up to now,
yeah.
that's the practice of
right.
always being in that position of, that's not me.
Yeah.
In fact, it's so not me that that we could look at talking about it in a group as a service. Because chances are, if it's going on here, if it's passing through here, the same clouds are probably passing through for other people. So as it's passing through, I have all these insights about it. The things that I see about it might assist the next person as that cloud passes over there.
That's exactly what I was seeing about it last night, you know. And I know that every time someone shares what is going on with that system, it's liberating for me.
Yeah.
And what I've seen is the difference is when I'm identified with the system and I'm sharing that this is me, it's really a drain, you know. But when I am able to stand outside of it and see this is not me, but and I see this, you know, this going on, it is a contribution.
It is.
And
you know, don't forget where you're going, but even that middle place of, wow, it really feels like me right now.
Yeah.
But I know it isn't.
Yeah.
So help me out here. I mean, even that is, it adds energy, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And thank you for that. Because, it can, I know that place when it just totally feels like me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just feel like you're kind of hurling yourself at all. Where's the exit? I know it's there, but I sure can't find it.
Yeah.
And
it's
and
like the fireplace that's going to turn, flip around.
Right.
Right. Where's the button?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then I could see where that could then turn into another thing. Well, I can't share until I find the exit, you know.
Right.
And I can stand from that disidentified place.
Yeah.
And I've had since I've been practicing with a lot of intention on just, you know, being here and not getting it right, it seems like it's just amped.
You know, it's going after you like crazy.
It's been going after me like crazy on occasion. I mean, sometimes this week, I mean, it's really been on the map and not being able to.
Yeah.
To find that.
Yeah.
I know it's here. But,
yeah.
And so just to say that, you know, to just know that that's...
Well, in that place, with that level of determination to see through something that it sounds like is very kind of a core piece of karma that happens for you, conditioning has to come at it, has to meet it with that same level of intensity. You know?
That's true.
And we can guess its aim is for, when it comes at us like that, to go, okay, forget it. I'll just go back in my box. It's not worth it. It's too hard.
Yeah.
It's too painful.
Yeah.
It's too, I mean, so that's the place of the warrior.
Yeah.
Of just, all right.
But when it's very clear that going back in the box is the coffin.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
It is just not an option.
Yeah, which is such a gift to be able to know that place so well. I was thinking about that when you were first talking, of how that feels like a piece of the process of getting to know the karma so well that when we get to that place of determination and conditioning throws everything at us, we know there's no way. This may be, it seems impossible, but I can't go back.
Yeah.
I'm not going back. And so I'm willing to face whatever I have to face in this place.
Yeah, it's been very clear. And just looking to at that place of, I guess it's the place of the warrior again. What is that like to just be in that kind of single-minded attention where you know that, you know, that the blade, the sword is pointed in your direction, and if you lose focus for an instant, and just really looking at that, and wow, what it'd be like to live in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I'm on it.
And I project with that when we bring the spirit of inquiry to that, like we've been talking about through this last year. It transforms from a, you know, drudgery, oh my gosh, this is so hard, to kind of a, where's that place?
Yeah.
You know, kind of a, almost exciting.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the edge of something something different, something new, some way that, you know, at least for me, those old karmic things can become part of what's so painful about them is those grooves are so worn, that it's so, just that constant rubbing in the same place is so painful. Yeah. And then that place of that one point of focus of, okay, this is new, yeah. This is different, yeah. This can be so exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting to know that there's like, there's a whole possibility there that that is not even, I don't even, you know, it's not anything I can even maybe conceptualize or, you know, it's just...
There's just an intuitive sort of knowing of going in that, something pulling you in that direction, supporting you.
And, you know, from coming from the place of, well, no, I really want to know what it's going to be. I want to know what the temperature of the water is going to be. Right. What I need to pack, I need to, you know, just...
And then I'll jump in,
you know, but to just be in that place of just being pulled in, like, okay, just, you know, the image I get is just, like, completely letting go of all of that and just letting yourself just be sucked into another...
And, you know, a piece of that for me is why the work of reassurances and the mentor is so important, because to know in the deepest place of our being that we're okay no matter what. So when we find the courage to take that leap, whatever happens there, however painful that might end up being, or scary, or maybe it'll be exhilarating, who knows, whatever's there for us, that's going to be okay.
Yeah.
We're up to it.
I was struck with the first share about, you know, not being so concerned about getting it right. Mm-hmm. That when one of the things that happened for me in July when I was here as a visiting monk was it felt like I got, oh, all we're all doing side by side is maintaining the privileged environment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like anybody's out to get anybody, or it's not about getting it right or wrong. It's, we are together creating the privileged environment. And when we are not creating that, we're reminded that whatever we're doing is not creating that. Mm-hmm. It was such a liberating thing to see. Mm-hmm. And it sort of got me out of that. They're the big people, I'm the little person, mm-hmm. I'm the visitor, they're the, you know, all of that duality.
Yeah.
And I can still sort of fall back into that, but more and more I just get it that that's what we're doing. We're just all maintaining this way of being together, so that it exists for all of us.
Right. And if I stray from that, and someone reminds me that, that's as much for me as it is for the entire community.
Yep. And so also with regard to the, you know, conditioning creeping in about the right and wrong, I was talking about this in my guidance appointment over yesterday, but. So the other night we saw these videos about these fabulous gardens and garden ideas and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I watched conditioning come in and sort of say, well, have we not already done this here? Uh-huh. You know, why are we not showing videos of the fabulous things that happened here? Uh-huh. Because of the gardener here. And it was just so, you know, it's so interesting to watch how conditioning wants to take what is really exciting and inspirational and turn it into a punishment. Right. You know, turn it around and turn it into something sour.
And to make it all about me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it was, and I kind of got it. I mean, I realized I walked out in sort of a funk. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm aware that those videos get me all excited. So I thought, why am I in a funk? Yeah. And fortunately I had a guidance appointment the next day and had a chance to really get into that, you know, that what conditioning was trying to do to that. Yeah. And the other night we went, Friday night, we went to this wonderful performance that's done every year of the Nutcracker in town. And it's a local performance, fabulously done, and involving, you know, people from 5 years old to 50 years old. I mean, it's just, it incorporates everyone, which is just such a wonderful model. And there was this, I realized that there was this great metaphor that occurred for me, and there was one dance where these 5 or 6 little girls come out and they have like little hula hoops, and they're doing this dance with hoops, and the first one of the little girls dropped her hoop, and she did the whole rest of the dance without the hoop, as though she had the hoop, and I thought, that's wonderful. Yeah. I just thought, what a great, she never missed a step, she never stopped smiling, she never looked self-conscious. When it was over, she picked up her hoop along with everybody else and went off the stage. You know, that is just, that's just for me such a wonderful metaphor. I mean, I drop the hoop all the time, and I just keep dancing. And dancing in concert with the other people, and nobody turned on her because she dropped her hoop. They just danced with their hoops. And that kind of thing actually happened throughout, in various places throughout that whole performance. And part of what I realized was so heartwarming about the whole thing is that the person who creates it creates that environment.
Well, I was going to say, and so if you drop your hoop, then on you go.
Keep dancing. And then when you're done, you pick up your hoop and go off. And next time, maybe you will and maybe you won't. But it was a wonderful moment, you know, and kind of a, it was part of what I took away from me, with me.
And I mean, who knows, you know, what she got backstage, but just wouldn't it be so wonderful to live in a world where children were brought up with, you know, she comes off stage and it's, that was awesome. You were a hero for all of us. Thank you for that modeling.
Which is what we can do for our own children internally all the time.
Yeah, to really recognize that.
This is a great conversation. And what it helped me remember is that this year I've been probably more happy, more grateful, more joyful. You know, the feelings of that come from practice than, well, possibly ever before, but how would I know?
Who would find, who would look at that?
I feel that way every year. I don't know. But what I do know is that it's ratcheted something wrong voices, it seems. Occasionally, you know, they come up like monsters, very very strong. And but here's their most popular deal. They they'll do that, and then they have me think that, because I can deal with what they're saying. It's the same old stuff. But what their secret weapon is, and I'm on to it because I've experienced it quite a lot, but it's still, the secret weapon is, but because we're even here, you're not doing it right, you know, you're doing something wrong. And, you know, I just have to keep going back to what Sherry always says, well, you know, if they're there, you're probably doing something right. But that and I believe that, of course, but there's they're the way they can throw in doubt, which has always been, you know, it's just such a practice. I mean, luckily, it ratchets my practice up. Recording and all this stuff, but
it forces us to expand, like we were talking about before. So the trump card it tries to play is to get you to take it personally. The fact that they're there means something about you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so that to me is the real thing that you know, when they cause that kind of disturbance, when once they're, that's the hook, you know. Then they, I know they've, you know, shot the arrow or whatever it is.
And again, it does force us to expand, doesn't it? So it's one thing to get to the place where, you know, I can really find well-being and, you know, that feels so good and expansive and just right here, kind of when the voices aren't really around, that's great. And then to expand to the place where the voices are there and they are attempting to get me, and maybe even some attention goes there and I feel the arrow go in, can I expand that that's okay too? That's part of the process, because knowing that that practice is always deepening. It just is, it's just what happens. So when the arrow goes in, I don't know about if this is true for you, but certainly it is for me. Oh, well, that means that you're not practicing properly, and the fact that you are even affected by that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But of course, each time that happens, you're practicing with it at a deeper level. You see through it, you see another piece of it. You kind of got that well-being at a deeper level, if you will.
I really have the faith that that's really so, because experientially, that must be why
when they're, you know, when things aren't, when they're not there, when they've, you know, faded back into non-existence, mm-hmm. the well-being is so much yeah. more,
yes.
you know, than, say, what I would think yeah. of or project mm-hmm. years ago, you know, yeah. instead yeah. of, that it does build.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the one of the other things they I noticed they do is, you know, I can look at something, I don't know who the I maybe is, but, you know, maybe it's awareness, or maybe not. But look at something and say, well, that was unskillful. You know, it just mm-hmm. seemed unskillful. Mm-hmm. And, or mm-hmm. even say that a note, you know, say mm-hmm. that that was.
How can you see that that was unskillful?
Right, then it's general. And so then, let's see, what does conditioning do then? Oh, so what it tries to do is, you know, rub it in. Mm-hmm. And that's where I notice that if my focus of attention goes to that, mm-hmm. then I don't get to see and yeah. explore the unskillfulness that was yeah. actually there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's one of its main, you know, ways to distract.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's another version of getting you to take it personally. You know, right. it's back to what we were looking at with Penny. So there's just information there that's actually being offered either, well, from life in some form, in whatever form that is, in the form of a note or your awareness or whatever it is, as really a gift for you to see, to deepen, you know, your awareness. Mm-hmm. And if the attention goes to conditioning, which it's just dying for, oh, to turn this into a problem and something's wrong and this means something about you, then it gets strengthened.
Yeah.
And you're not available for that gift of the awareness that you were being offered.
Yeah, and that one's easier than the first one, because once I realize that's what's going on, I just, you know, say, and if it is listening, that, you know, every time you bring that up, I'm moving my focus of attention to the breath. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't want to. And it will stop.
So it's in a little bit of a double bind there, isn't it?
Yeah. And nine times out of ten, maybe 10 times out of 10, it stops.
Yeah.
That's one way to just cut that part off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I noticed that that's a little easier to deal with than the first thing I was talking about. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It is a trick of it.
Yeah, and that maybe that's that place of deepening that we were just talking about, that your ability to direct the attention to that other place where you want it to be is strengthening, mm-hmm. such that very likely, fairly, you know, in a fairly short period of time, it will probably be completely available to you in that other place that's a little bit more tricky right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks.
Mickey.
Well, I kind of along those lines, I received in my guidance yesterday something that was really very helpful, that if we don't go to self-hate, then that can open up actually an even deeper level of no self-hate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I hadn't quite seen it that way before, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But after a really long period of time for me, weeks of not self-hate, practicing no self-hate, mm-hmm. it's like I slid down the mm-hmm. tube, you know, way far, mm-hmm. to the point where this person that was walking around definitely wasn't me, mm-hmm. and had a moment last week that, well, I would say was beyond not skillful, and that could have been a really big opportunity for massive self-hate, mm-hmm. but what happened instead, and I don't know, as I'm listening to the conversation today and I'm thinking about that, I can only think is grace. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was such a huge wake up of, mm-hmm. oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I see. I forgot who I am. Oh, I forgot who's here and who's not, you know. Mm-hmm. I see who's here, mm-hmm. and this is not who should be here.
Yeah.
And it was, so it truly was a whole, like, okay, let's get back to where we were here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sobering.
It is, it's sobering, yeah.
To have a period of time of realizing that wasn't me walking around.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because it's like, on one level, it's all completely fine.
Yeah.
It's all okay, exactly how it happens. On another level, when we're practicing at this level, that's not okay.
Right. Right.
I want to take responsibility for my life and for my going around and my interactions with people. Right. And I don't want conditioning to be able to take that over and just do as it pleases. Yeah. That's not what I want.
Exactly.
And so it really ups the motivation of, all right, let's get back. Let's get back.
Right.
Get back here.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, and to just have gotten so far off that I didn't know I was so far off. Mm-hmm. Because it didn't seem that bad, really. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where it's just not as pleasant as it used to be.
Yeah.
But it really was. Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing, sort of now, as you're coming to, you can see the breadcrumbs along the way, kind of the signs of danger that were, which would be a great recording to make.
They're actually pretty clear.
Yeah, quite clear. Yeah. And it's helpful to have those because, in that place of, it's not that bad, it's kind of okay, what's the big deal? That's the place where we really want to wake up.
Yeah.
And because that's that sort of pernicious middle place where it's just me going around. It's sort of evil little tentacles getting all through the life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a. It's it was a takeover. Mm-hmm. It was.
And as you say, I think this is what you're pointing at. The not going to self-hate with it allows you to actually step up and take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
Going to self-hate, it was a takeover and oh my God, I can't believe, that keeps it all about me.
Right. Yep.
That keeps it all about me and doesn't allow me to take any responsibility for whatever unskillfulness happened or how I want to be in the next moment or,
Yeah, and I remember this thing, and I said this yesterday in my appointment, but I had read this posting from Anne Lamott, the author, and who has such a good ability to talk about those awful human places we get into, and also the grace and the what's real in life behind that. In her case, it's God, but she phrased it in this piece as she'd had one of those horrible moments, and when she came back to, she said, it was along the lines of, I remember not who I am, but whose I am. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's like, it isn't about me. Whose I am in my case is life.
This is not my life.
No, right.
Yeah, this right. thing is my life.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. That was that feverish clot of
right. Exactly.
Ailments,
And the extraordinary opportunity we have to wake up and kind of give life back to itself. Mm-hmm.
So since that moment, it's been a whole different life. Mm-hmm. The adult is back, the being.
Well, and again, as we were talking with Phil, we can guess at possibly a deeper level, even than when you started the commitment to no self-hate.
I think so.
Because you've got to run into the stuff, as Sherry talks about, if there's something still there that can create the suffering and pull us into identification, then let's face it.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have to it's over.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm always receiving amazing gifts in practice, but last Sunday I was digging through some of my gear and I found an old MP3 player. And about a year and a half ago, I lost my entire recording, listening to 300 recordings. And that was a really good practice opportunity. Mm-hmm. A lot of mentoring. It was really funny because I had a guidance appointment a week after I was at home with one of the monks. And I just went through this whole process of the mentor stepping in and saying, it's okay, because a lot of the folks, it's certainly in the practice day, it's just devastated. And, and I had a lot of retreats on there. And then I eventually recovered 100 that went on my laptop, and I had forgotten I'd actually have transferred them over to. I'm up to my fourth recorder. I seem to wear them out because my first two have kind of imploded. And I discovered this old MP3 player, which I hadn't thrown a battery in for a long time, and I stuck it in, and I discovered the call of the lost recordings. And I've been talking about them in guides this week. And I had those 100 recordings from a year and a half ago, actually almost 2 years ago. And I started listening to them, and I was just in awe of the archiving of the practice that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And one of the big beliefs that was really smashed this week, well, many beliefs were kind of, and assumptions were really kind of thrown out, but I was always told by conditioning that the only place I can really practice is in monastic training and in the monastery. Mm-hmm. And it's so not true. Mm-hmm. I just saw in those recordings on and again and again. And what was really amazing, I'm up to about the 74th recording. I've been listening all week to them. And I recorded what you practice, what you have the book in there, and every exercise through the course of a couple months. And just watch this, me, but it's kind of removed because it's mm-hmm. a year mm-hmm. plus. Mm-hmm. That he kept dropping the hula hoop. He'd get so identified, but he made his commitment to do it daily. Uh-huh. So it didn't matter what went on. Uh-huh. He picked up that book and even super identified, he yeah. would read a section.
Yeah, and there he is. The hula hoop's on the ground, but he's still making the hula hoops.
Yeah, and I'm just hearing that he's identified. He's with he's growled. Or I don't know if he's taken over by conditioning or conditioning's got a young person. I think conditioning's got a young person. But it didn't stop his resolve. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, really? Wow, he did that? Mm-hmm. He was still able to, and he was recording Transform Your Life every day and about 10 tweets. And then he was doing, his commitment was a daily review. And it was so fascinating to watch on this recording. I don't know why it seems so different than the ones I have now. I don't mm-hmm. know why. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know.
Well, I mean, and maybe part of it, just as you say, it's a year in the past.
Yeah.
So it's just so much easier to see. That's just this guy, the sincere guy who's doing practice, and how lovely it is. It sounds like to listen to that, yeah. to hear that, to receive that, and on one level get it that wow, that's me.
Right.
And it sounds like on another level it's just like listening to someone who's doing sincere practice.
Yeah,
not really you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and just struck by the. And he was availing himself to every practice opportunity that the monastery offers, and just every email class and every reflective listening buddies and signing up for retreats and coming back with the recordings and talking about it and the mentor coming in, he'd be really identified, and some of the recordings are really cool, really young and crying and distraught and really going through some really external content challenges, and then sliding in on the same recording into the mentor, mm-hmm. and centered and older and reassuring and comforting, it's okay, and I'm here for you, and you're not alone, and I feel your pain, and mm-hmm. I'm listening, it's going, wow, mm-hmm. I totally forgot that those experiences had happened, mm-hmm. and giving him the unconditional love and acceptance, that's all that person wants, those young ones,
yeah.
that's all they want. And to be heard. And
yeah. No big fancy content.
No.
No big work. No. Just want to be heard.
Just want to be
someone
heard.
To be there with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just wanting to be there with them. And it's just thinking, we're encouraged to do a lot of recording listening during the master practice. I've got 2 or 3 recordings, up to I think 4 recordings a day with our guidance appointments. And I was just thinking, in my last guidance appointment, I was just thinking, well, a year from now, these will be all.
Yeah, exactly.
I've created a couple 100 recordings since I've been here just these couple months. And mm-hmm. it's just like, wow, these will be the recordings I'm mm-hmm. inspired by now. Yeah. A year and a half ago, these will be the ones a year from now. Well,
that's right.
Wow, he really signed up for that?
Exactly.
He stuck it up?
Yeah.
He extended his stay. Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
He had a ticket.
How did that happen?
He had a launch.
And it's so funny because it's like, well, if he can do it, I can too.
Yeah, exactly. He can do it. It's so true. I was thinking of that. I was thinking, wow, he did that. Am I, and it's so funny because Kanish comes and goes, am I doing that? Now, here I am in monastic training for 3 months. And he's going, well, are you practicing like he's practicing at home? I'm in a monastery. How crazy is that? That countertop?
Yeah.
Coming in like that and saying, I don't think you're practicing as hard as he is. Whoa! Anyway, just wanted to share that.
Thanks, too.
I've kind of been looking a little bit about that, the non-existent future, non-existent past mm-hmm. thing, and just how sly the whole thing is. It, a kind of aversion and craving, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Mainly craving recently. Mm-hmm. But yesterday I had this experience, and I've had it frequently, in the last several weeks of just feeling this beautiful opening and all this energy freed up, and a lot of love, and I mean, just like, just that little kid out on the playground doing cartwheels, doesn't care if anybody's looking, yeah. Just absolutely,
yeah.
You know, here and so happy with life. Mm-hmm. And then I watch, it's so tricky because when it happens, I can't really tell that that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Although it's been helpful getting some guidance from the guide, mm-hmm. kind of pointing that out mm-hmm. pretty clearly. But that it'll go from, gosh, I'm just so happy, and so alive, and this is amazing, to like off into this really, really pleasant fantasy
yep.
about how, oh, wouldn't it be nice to be able to relate that way with another person, you know, like especially in like this, like a romantic circumstance, like on a beach vacation or
something. Oh, and then a drink with an umbrella.
And it's like, oh, yeah. Life would be perfect. and I don't even realize when that's happening
yeah.
that I just left that perfect life to go into a fantasy about how much more perfect it could be. And it's really tricky because when it's happening, it all feels so pleasant
exactly.
and so juicy and fun.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't realize what just happened.
Yeah.
But what just happened was, I totally abandoned this beautiful experience to go into an experience of longing for what is not here, which is the experience of suffering.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's the definition.
And then it doesn't feel like suffering in the moment when I get lured out there and when I leave.
Which is very much on purpose.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because there you are, expansive and open and in love and just here. And so if conditioning were to just directly introduce dissatisfaction, it would just kind of roll right off.
Yeah.
So the only choice is for conditioning to run, catch up, get on the train, quietly change the image in front of your eyes from here to the beach and the sand and the air and the... Until you don't realize that experience has been nailed to content.
Uh-huh.
And then now we can introduce the dissatisfaction because we'll look around. There's no beach here. In fact, it's cold and kind of rainy and there's no one to share it with.
Yeah.
And
well, and also in my experience, you know, oftentimes I'll have the beach, I'll have the whatever that content is, and then just find a way to be perfectly miserable. Like somehow something isn't working with this other person, or they're just like, you know.
Yeah.
And
I'm supposed to be having those feelings. I'm not having those feelings. Yeah.
Oh, what does this mean? What does this mean about me?
And if I can't be happy here, then.
Oh, yeah. And it was great. It was just awesome. The guy just pointed out, like, I mean, that is the world of suffering. And about how, you know, We're practicing learning how to appreciate like what we have while we have it right now.
Yes.
And so that, you know, when you have that experience being on the beach, you can enjoy it and not be longing to be at the monastery.
That's right.
That's like, oh, that's perfect. It really snapped me back. I was like, right. But boy, it's sure something to practice with, that remembering.
Oh, yeah.
To stay here, that like, gosh, and it is process, not content.
Yeah.
That all that love, all that joy, you know, the voices want to come and say, like, how is it possible that you can feel that here? There's nothing going on, but I do.
Yeah, yeah, there's nothing to create that. And then to realize, oh, it's a process that's happening inside here, so of course, I can feel it anywhere, I can have it anywhere. And that's where we begin to practice having it. Wherever we are.
It's wild talking about it because I feel like this kind of the unnamed, like no content, just generalized longing just arise.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like this gaping, you know, mouth of just longing for something.
Yeah.
And it's just I guess part of, you know, really staying here and staying in that love is being present to that too, that there is that burning longing that's just going to be there, I guess.
Yep. Do you know the image of the hungry ghost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tiny little mouth and the big belly
and just feeds on that longing, that dissatisfaction, yeah. You know? And that's definitely my experience, that the whatever the experience is that's going on, the longing, the whatever it is, there's a place of just sitting still with that kind of, again, the spirit of inquiry of, okay, if well-being is available right here, right now, and I just sit still through whatever's here, that is the well-being. Mm-hmm. You know, the ability to sit still with whatever it is and watch it just fade away because it can't be maintained without our attention is incredible.
Thanks for that. Yeah, that's a really good point, because the thing I get talked into like leaving it for is that it will never go away.
Right.
But that's not my experience. It comes in waves, mm-hmm. and it does go away, and it releases into perfect well-being, and then it comes back.
Yeah. And that if it's fine that it's there, there's really no reason for it to be there. Do you know what I mean? After a while, there's no motivation for conditioning to keep inserting that. Because if I don't have anything going about it being there, if I learn that I can be in well-being even when that's there, then A, it's not a problem when it is, and B, at least in my experience, it's introduced far less often because it's not effective in creating the dissatisfaction and suffering that it's supposed to.
Mm, that's great. That's definitely going on the recorder.
I have a practice that it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
It's this one, but it is specifically what I'm practicing with is I notice a karmic tendency to gravitate toward things that, let's say I enjoy, but I think conditioning enjoys them,
mm-hmm.
and therefore prioritizes them
mm-hmm.
over other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little bit of flexibility in the work that I do, mm-hmm. and that I can choose to do certain things at whatever time, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's time for those.
It's time for that. It's mm-hmm. There's a little bit of flexibility there, and what I notice I do, and I'm sure this is probably universal because I heard other people talk about it too, but it's that I'll do whatever it is that I feel comfortable with, or I like to do, or is easy to do, or whatever fits the category of, you know, this is the next thing to do. And it may not be the most important thing to do, nor the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Did I just say that twice?
No, most comfortable and easiest. I can see those being interesting.
Yeah. That's what it feels like, anyway. And my project now is to... talk about going through firewalls. choosing things that conditioning does not find fun, and finding the joy in those, because the joy does exist there. I've proven it to myself maybe hundreds of times that, here's a really benign one.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioning screams at me about hating email.
Mm-hmm.
I hate email.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand it. I know. At the end of the day, you know, I do not want to go to that computer, sit down, and
do email.
No.
All right. We have our workstation.
Exactly. Yeah. So I go there, and everything in my body is saying, I do not want to be here. Yes, I would rather be elsewhere.
That right there is the ground for suffering.
Oh, it is. It's the other extreme of like everything's going well.
Yeah.
Why not add this to it? You know, why not? Because I have that experience too. It's like that is the definition of suffering. Is I want to avoid everything that is unpleasant. I want to head toward it as fast as I can toward everything I love and want. And so there I am, and I'm just, you know, I have the mail program open, and I just control N, you know, new email started. And I just start typing. I don't know what I'm going to say. I have no idea. Just okay, dear. That's a good start.
Dear President Obama.
so I just start typing away, and sure enough, it's easy, and I'm enjoying it, and there's nothing hideous about it. It's not, I'm just writing about, you know, what I'm seeing and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it's very easy to see that this is what I'm seeing as I'm mm-hmm. as I'm doing this. So, mm-hmm. It's and that experience has been repeated over and over again too. I talk about it constantly in group. How I, you know, just starts off with, can't, no, this is impossible. Mm-hmm. Start it, and it's sure enough, it's not impossible. And actually, I love it. I kind of like it. And the next step that's along the way is, wow, this is great. Why don't you do this more often? You know, you need to set up a program to be able to do this more often. Yeah. Let's email all day. Or, because you like this so much, let's do all the other things that you really like. And let's create a schedule of all the things you really like and cram it really full until there's no sleep at all. So I've just laid out the, you know, one extreme, and it's heads off very quickly to the other extreme.
Yep. So if we can't get you on the, I hate this, I'd rather be somewhere else, but P.S., I have to sit here and do it. Uh-huh. If we can't talk you into that cul-de-sac, well, how about that?
All the things you love.
Get on board with that train and then create the suffering in that direction of, oh, yeah, this is great. And, okay, let's create a program and let's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all I've seen is just sitting through it and practicing with it and not making it into anything.
Yeah.
And it makes it sound like I'm making it into something, which is not my experience at all. It's, mm-hmm. it's something there is cranking away on the on the energy that's produced, because it really is very energy producing to bust through something that's completely a make-believe lie.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens, is that, oh boy, there's energy. Yeah. Time to flop around and get some.
Exactly.
You know, so I think that's, it's just that it encourages me to be ever wary.
Mm-hmm.
And never lose focus on what's right here in front of me.
Yeah, because it sounds like that's what you started off with, is an insight on, okay, it's talking me out, it's talking me into prioritizing things that, quote, I like, which basically sounds like the things that reinforce the identity.
Pretty much.
Which is going to lead towards suffering, sooner or later, right?
I mean, the whole thing is just caged in suffering.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing that I like something. Mm-hmm. Because if it could keep me there, it's not relating to anything real.
Exactly. So then seeing, okay, I'm going to sit down and do this thing and essentially be present. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all I hear the commitment being.
Yeah.
And the minute you do that, that begins to just produce energy and happy and, you know, whatever word you would put it with it, just because that's what happens when you're present.
Yes.
And then conditioning attempts to, again, kind of create an artificial thing around it to pull you back off. And so it sounds like what you're saying is the ever wary is just remembering, no, it doesn't even have anything to do with email and the fact that actually I like email. That's completely beside the point.
Right.
All I'm practicing is being present now and now and now. I don't need any schedules. I don't need any programs because when I'm present, you know, sometimes it's going to be time to do email and I can be happy doing that. And then it's going to be time to go do this and I can be happy doing that. And life will just offer to me what the next thing is. I don't need any big programs or schedules.
I don't, no. Mm-hmm. It happened yesterday with me making, you know, 18 loaves of bread. And just, like, you know, I was like, you know, no, I can't believe this. What a day this is going to be. And all of a sudden, it was just like incredible. Loving it, and, you know, loved how everything went.
I mean, these need to get punched down. Okay, these are coming out of the oven. Okay.
Yeah, it's like really, really, really fun.
Because it's joyful, isn't it? Because being present, as you say, creates so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have something beautiful like that, someplace to put the energy, is so much fun.
Oh,
I mean, not that we have to have it.
No.
You know, there's another place of learning to just sit with the energy, which is another huge challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But to have something physical that you're doing, that you're creating, a place to put it, can be such a lovely practice.
Yeah, it is, and it tried to come in with, you know, we should make bread every day. No, really.
No, if we
not joking. It's like,
oh,
it's,
I
said, you
know, I
know. You know, there's got to be a way to do this. You know, you can make one every day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly.
And it's just nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, it just wants to make something out of everything.
Yeah.
Just,
Instead of just
being
no meaning. There's just the being here making bread.
Yeah.
No, it's constantly angling to make meaning.
Aiming out of something, angle for something, trying to like work its way. Mm-hmm. And that's the, you know, did Sherry make this gesture before, you know, like kind of like
moving hands back and forth.
Yeah, for all those who can't see it. It's just like just kind of like dodging and shifting, you know, just kind of like I'm going to angle for this, I'm going to move for that, I'm going to do something about that, I'm going to move it, I'm going to shake it. And it's really just about, you know, like what I hear you saying is, you know, the joy that, what I started saying is joy is there. My task is to actually access it. That's it. I don't have to do anything, I don't have to shift anything around.
No.
It, life will present its opportunities, its joys, its, you know, everything.
Just bring the attention here.
Bring the attention here.
The joy is here.
The joy is here. I'm just going to remind myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Krista.
I have a... I've been working on this a process similar to this, and so I wanted to share about that. I would always say the hard thing for last. And in, you know, in training, in skating, the same, doing the same, and then in my life now, the same. And then what I realized is that it creates an energy of anxiety. This thing that there's going to be this hard thing to do that's then again, when you're a bit more tired anyway.
Right.
And so this last year, I changed the order of what the task, and instead of doing the hard thing, I made the goal of doing the thing which would relieve the most anxiety first, which is the hard thing.
Yeah.
But, hard. Right, the hard thing, but because there's an energy of resistance with it. And then it's just the same, in that once that's faced, you know, then there's not that resistance energy and that anxiety of the resistance. All that whole cycle is just finished.
It's a great gift to yourself, isn't
it? It's so great. And then, you know, it's always something like so innocuous. Like, I mean, like writing an email. It's like that. Like, oh, really? Like, you really can't do that? Like, it's so, but in the world inside, it feels like that.
Yes.
You know, it's some big thing.
Yeah.
And then as soon as so it's been great. And so I just wanted to share that because I just want to say again, it's not I'm doing the hard thing first. I prioritize on the thing that will reduce the anxiety the most.
So in that way, it turns it from what I hear you saying, from a contest that condition could want to make it into, okay, I have to do the hard thing first, to a gift to yourself of, okay, I'm going to attend to the thing that will assist the most in relieving the anxiety, which is going to clear the field to go forward with everything else.
And it's very small things, but they were huge for me. Like having a set schedule that I did bookkeeping and worked in the office. Just having a set schedule that's set months in advance, and I just show up on these days and do these tasks. I don't think I can even communicate how much was held in place by the resistance around all that stuff. That as that got said, and I found the willingness to do that, I found that I could just do it and then just show up. It's like all these other possibilities opened up because there's a set time to open the mail and take care of it.
And you stick to that.
Someone shows up, we work together, that's how it is.
Wow.
It just is what it is. Sometimes I resist it, sometimes I like it, but the schedule's the schedule.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's one example of it. And so... and they, many of them are huge, huge, like a schedule is huge, right?
Well, but it is in the sense of the resistance that often we have to overcome to be willing to do that.
And the place that I'm kept Yeah. Because I'm unable to do that.
Yes.
Is very giant.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so big. It's like I'm a person who can't deal with life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the conditioning and life is too much, and it's all believable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When setting it up to do the thing that reduces the most anxiety first, yeah, shifts that whole story.
Completely.
And opens whole worlds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in the one place, it's like we're doubly piled on by self-hate because we're talked into this, you know, being this way.
Right.
And then when we don't see the option of how not to do that, that spirals and creates this content that feels like it buries us even more.
And so it's actually more than, it's not self-hate talked me into doing this thing or I can't. It's the reality.
Uh-huh.
It's yeah, who I, it's,
right,
it's unavailable.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, well, I can't be present at the United States. I mean, it's yeah, giant like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just so, yeah, anyway, it's the same. It just feels so much deeper than that.
Yeah. And so to have actually put it in place is enormous.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it really until this conversation of then the freedom, the possibility that's created outside of that karma.
Yeah.
It's just everything.
Yes. Yeah. Because once that karma is kind of broken through, if you will, there, mm-hmm, that's available to us everywhere.
Right. And
it's kind of like what you started the morning with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love the tool, that super practical tool of, well, I just do the thing that will reduce, like the priority is to do the thing that reduces the most anxiety first. Like that's just, that is so, between that and the schedule, it's just so freeing.
Yeah.
I can just show up and do the task,
yeah,
things instead of, it used to be so torturous to show up and do the things.
Mm, yeah. Well, and you know, a big piece of it, I would imagine, is that it simply cuts out the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you know and you prove to yourself over and over that's the strategy, that's the schedule, that's how you're going to choose the tasks, and you just know that, you don't have to have that conversation with conditioning every time when it comes, well, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you all.